You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Est-ce qu'il y a faute sur Bale? Il est passé de toute façon. Il résiste à la faute de Bartra.
Le punt with Mark Walton.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the Euros Punt podcast from William Hill. We're looking ahead to Sunday's action at the Euros. It's the last of the quarterfinals as France meets Iceland. We'll be getting previews from Derek McGovern as he joined Dave Kellner earlier on in the week. We'll also be hearing from French football expert Andrew Gibney. There's a bit of trivia along the way, and we'll also hear from Lee Phelps as he gives us his latest country file. So plenty to get stuck into once again on this podcast, and we'll start with a bit of trivia. As always, I'll ask you the question at the start of the podcast and I will reveal the answer at the end. And today's question is this: beer was not considered an alcoholic beverage in which country until 2013? So beer was not considered an alcoholic beverage in which country until 2013? As usual, I'll give you the answer to that at the end of the podcast. But right now, let's get stuck into some of the betting previews we have lined up. And first of all, it's Derek McGovern in the company of Dave Kellner, and they looked ahead to France against Iceland. The betting at the moment, at the time of recording this, looks like this. France are 4-9, the draw 16-5, and Iceland are 15-2. Let's get the thoughts of Derek McGovern.
To qualify, France 1-8. Iceland in the betting at 5-1. Iceland beating England in the round of 16, and France coming through against the Republic of Ireland despite falling a goal behind in that game, responded well in the second half. Surely, Derek, Iceland can't pull off two shocks in the space of a week.
Interestingly, though, you know, everybody's saying Monday night's result was regarded as England's most humiliating ever. Iceland were only around 7-1. And which is pretty much what they are around now. France, in fact, England were 4-9 that night. France are 2-5, pretty much the same odds. You know, it's in other words, that England result on Monday, it's on a par with, say, Swansea winning at Old Trafford.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. People blow it out of all proportion, but I think it's just the feeling behind the English national team, isn't it?
I know, yeah. But, I mean, it's still worth remembering that, though, isn't it? I mean, one thing we'll always remember is the population of Iceland. How many times have we been told now? A paltry 330,000. But that's only because, Dave, clapping your hands above your head and going, ooh, is not considered a seductive chat-up line. Except in my local, that is.
Now that's where I've been going wrong, Dave. Yeah.
The truth to quarterfinals now against France, another nation who loves to put their hands above their heads, I think. France are the host nation. I mean, they're 2-5. The same price as England were, really. France are at home. England weren't, were they? The reason for that, of course, is that Iceland suddenly are a much better team than the bookies give them credit for. They're not the mugs they were, are they, Iceland? We know that. There's probably shades of Greece 2004, do you think, in the camaraderie?
Yeah.
Iceland were, I'm not saying they're lucky because they deserve to beat England, but they were lucky that they met England. They're lucky that they met a team managed by the clown. Because you don't get that too often in the knockout stages of a European competition. That doesn't apply this time around. They're meeting the host nation who have done not too much wrong. Okay, they haven't set the tournament alight, but they're getting the job done. And they've got players, unlike England, who can light up a tournament. Two or three players who can light up a tournament. I can see this. I can see France winning this quite comfortably, to be honest. 2-5. When people were lumping on England at 4-9, why wouldn't you lump on France at 2-5?
Yeah, precisely. 2-5 France. And you've got to remember, France are at home. They're unbeaten in their last 16 tournament games played on home soil now, winning 14 and drawing 2. That's an incredible record. All four of Iceland's games have seen both teams score, by the way. Yes, for both teams to score is in the betting at 11-8. I think if you are going to expose France, it's going to be defensively with Patrice Evra and Bakary Sagna playing as wing-backs. I can see Iceland getting on the score sheet, Derek, perhaps.
Well, yeah, the dangers from set pieces, aren't they? And you know, and the long throw that they've got now is a set piece. Yeah, you could do, because France don't look, as you say, they don't look watertight at the back. But I think they've got probably two of the best players of the tournament so far, Abney and Pogba and the Ampaye. Yeah, I could see Iceland getting on the score sheet, to be honest, but I can see France winning this comfortably. You know, but France minus a goal, if you don't fancy the 2-5 would appeal to me.
Yeah, me too. France minus 1, 6-5. If you do like the look of France and both teams to score, that's available at 3-1. And Paul Pogba is due a goal in this tournament. He's 2-1 to score any time. He's actually had 20 shots in major tournaments, 10 at the World Cup, last World Cup, and 10 at the Euros, but only scored once. 2-1, Paul Pogba, to get on the score sheet.
I mean, I'm sure Hazard was a bigger price to get on the score sheet against Wales, wasn't he?
Yeah, 21-10 Hazard.
Hazard's a more likely goal threat than Pogba, isn't he?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I suppose that
it's just because they're playing Iceland compared to Wales.
It's related to the outright price, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. No.
But yeah, I kind of agree with you there.
But yeah, I don't think there's not going to be enough.
All those French players are a lot shorter because France are 2-5, and I think the goal expectation for France would be 2.25, wouldn't it, in this circumstance?
Yeah,
expected to get over two goals against Iceland.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the opposition. The opposition is Iceland. There ain't going to be a surprise in this one.
So that's Derek McGovern there then, offering his opinions in the quarterfinal between France and Iceland in the company of Dave Kellner there. We're going to move on and hear the thoughts of French football expert Andrew Gibney in just a moment or two. But before we do, it's time to hear from Lee Phelps. He's going to give us his latest country file. And today's edition is about the host nation.
Welcome to France, a nation that can boast the shortest reigning monarch of all time. Louis XIX was king for just 20 minutes. He ascended to the throne in July 1830 after Charles X abdicated, and then abdicated himself 20 minutes later in favour of his nephew, the Duke of Bordeaux. The French army was the first to use camouflage back in World War I in 1915. Roughly translated, it means makeup for the stage. We can thank the French for some unbelievable inventions: tin cans, braille, the stethoscope, and the Etch-a-Sketch. The first public cinema was brought to us by Auguste and Louis Lumière back in 1895. They showed 10 50-second films. And let's finish with wine. In 2014, a 114-bottle lot of Roman Conte wines were sold in Hong Kong for more than €1.45 million. That works out at €1,619 per glass.
Lee Phelps giving us another superb country file there. They really are my favourite part of this podcast. Let's move on to more betting previews. Earlier in the day, I spoke to Andrew Gibney, who is an expert in French football. He works for 442, Yahoo Sport UK, and is the chief of French Football Weekly as well. And he looked ahead to this game with us, and I started by asking him the question whether France can break down this wall of Iceland defence.
Yeah, that's the big question in the French press as well, and I think Deschamps himself is looking at isn't quite sure the best way to take on Iceland either. There's rumours of staying at 4-2-3-1 the way they finished against Ireland, or reverting back to 4-3-3. For me, I think you have to play with width. I think you have to try and stretch the midfield, stretch that back four, and try and find gaps for the likes of Griezmann to pop into, because Olivier Giroud plays such a pivotal role up front that all the centre backs are going to be targeting him to beat him in the air, and you're looking for Griezmann and Pogba and Matuidi to get into those gaps and look to sort of get on the end of crosses from wing. And I think people at Paye and Kingsley Coman, if he plays, are going to be so crucial to France sort of getting some chances on goal. If not, like England, you're going to be left looking at attempts from distance, and if you can hit them like Nangolan did against Wales last night, great, but mostly they go over the bar or go wide, so it's a risky. So if you're restricted to that sort of efforts, then it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, and the players that you mentioned in there, the likes of Griezmann, the likes of Kingsley Coman if he plays, and Paul Pogba, they do have the pace in there to get behind this Iceland defence. So if France turn up and play as they should do or can do, is 4-9 in that respect, the right kind of price for them here. 4-9 for France. The draw 16-5 Iceland, 15-2. What do you make of the match betting?
I think it's maybe a little bit harsh on Iceland after beating England, but I suppose you have to. Sense has to go with the home nation, the host nation. Sort of, they're still yet to click fully. I think you're waiting for that. And I suppose you have to edge on the side of France. I think everyone's been a little bit cautious because of what Iceland have done. You don't want to get carried away. But I think it's probably a fair price, maybe a little bit harsh on Iceland. I think they were 9-1 to beat England, and that happened. So, it's maybe hedging on the side of caution rather than what might actually happen. I think it'll be a lot closer than what the odds suggest.
What kind of result are you expecting then here, Andrew?
I can see both teams scoring because the France defence is shaky at best. Samuel Umtiti is going to come into the back four, alongside Koscielny, who's going to have to move to the right of the centre-backs, although he is naturally right-footed, but he plays on the left for Arsenal and France. Umtiti, who's on his way to Barcelona, will come in. Fabulous defender, but he's going to win his first cap for France. So no matter how good he's been for Lyon, it's a big ask to come into a tournament at the quarterfinals against a team like Iceland. So there's going to be some sort of miscommunication or just getting used to each other. So I can see Iceland definitely scoring. You hope that France have got over that first 45 minutes against Ireland where they were terrible and have enough to trouble the Iceland defence and get at least two. I'm hedging towards 2-1 France is probably what I would go for.
Yeah, both teams have scored in all of Iceland's games so far as well, so that's in your favour. And obviously you mentioned the Republic of Ireland game there where France did concede. France to win the match and both teams to score is 3-1. Could I tempt you with that?
Definitely. I was looking at the odds earlier, and the big Icelandic centre-back, Ragnar Sigurdsson, who was phenomenal against England. He's been great all the way through. With Iceland's long throws, I'd be looking at someone like him with height to get on the end of that, and that would maybe be the best route to go for Iceland. I'd be looking at maybe him to score as well as part of Iceland scoring and both France to win and both to score.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest any-time goal score prices I've ever seen. He's 22-1 just to score any time. What else could we look at in here? We've got some enhanced odds, by the way. I'll just spin you through of a few of those. Antoine Griezmann to score and France to win in 90 minutes, 2-1.
He's on form there. I think you watched the game against Albania. I was in Marseille and he looked so frustrated, even though he scored. And he looked the same against Switzerland, but the scoring twice, especially in Lyon, because he grew up maybe 70 kilometres in Lyon and Macon, he looked so much happier after the Ireland game. So he's now maybe got that sort of monkey off his back of being the expectation of being the star. And as I said, with the Icelandic defenders, they'll be looking more towards Giroud and stopping him. Griezmann's so good at getting in between centre-backs and scoring headers and getting little flicks. That's a good price for me, especially someone who's going to start up front for France.
Yeah, and the other one that caught my eye really in terms of a pro France enhanced odds market here, Dimitri Payet, who's been one of the stars of the tournament so far, particularly in the early stages. Him to score, France to win, both teams to score in 90 minutes as well, which is something you said you liked. That was 7-1. We've pushed that out to 8-1.
Oh yeah, I'm on that as well. Payet, he was fantastic all the way through the group stage. I think Ireland did well to stop him in the last 16, but he definitely played. It was him that played the ball out to Sanya for Griezmann's first goal. He's definitely going to be the sort of man pulling the strings. I've got his name on the back of my France shirt that I got when I was out there. So maybe that's jinxed him. Maybe that's a reason not to get him. But you're looking at Payet to find the little gaps that, because Iceland played with those sort of two lines of four. He's the man who find the gaps. Free kicks as well. It's definitely worth a shout.
Yeah, we've seen his free kicks on a number of occasions, haven't we? Superb.
Yeah.
Let's have a little bit of a summary then, Andrew, before you go. Just spin us through your thoughts. What you think will happen then on Sunday night?
Yep, I have to edge toward France to win. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say that. Iceland, definitely dangerous, especially from set pieces, long throws. I can see them scoring with this changed France backline with Titi coming in. But look for Payet and Griezmann to play off the shoulders, get some chances and hopefully find the net for France.
Super. Been a pleasure speaking to you again, Andrew. Good luck on Sunday night. And if it goes to plan, we'll speak to you again ahead of the semis.
Cheers, mate. Thanks very much.
So that's Andrew Gibney there then, offering his thoughts on the game. A bit more trivia before we get the answer to the quiz question at the start of the podcast. And the question here is, what is France's lowest ever FIFA ranking? Well, they slipped all the way down to 27th in September 2010. Considerably higher than that now, and very much favourites to win the game on Sunday evening and progress to the semi-finals of the Euros. Before we go, let's get the answer to the quiz question at the start of the podcast. I asked you, which country was beer not considered an alcoholic drink until 2013? And the answer is Russia. So beer wasn't considered an alcoholic beverage in Russia until 2013. And on the back of that mind-blowing fact, we're almost done here on the Euros Punt podcast. All that's left to do is remind you that you can find all of the enhanced odds offers and updates for the Euros via Twitter at Will Hill Bet and at Will Hill In Play. You can hear all of the action on William Hill's In Play Radio as well, with live betting commentary on the game. And make sure you check out audioboom.com and news.williamhill.com for the latest podcasts. And of course, we'll be back ahead of the semi-finals, and we might even have an outright update or two along the way as well. If you're having a bet on Sunday's game, good luck, and thank you very much for listening to this podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.